The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 552. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
And Brian Manjoma.
What up?
All right, guys, we are back with another one. Before we start, a couple things here. Rich is apparently in Boston, so he probably won't be joining us tonight. He's hanging out with the family, which is always pretty cool. Adam is probably at the TV terminal, that's all he does now. Free time, TV terminal time. And Brett's not on tonight, some personal stuff, so you'll be stuck with the five of us, you know? All right, man, let's get into it. So, yeah, a lot of questions tonight were of the handheld variety. So I actually, sequence all those questions to, get the kind of front load the first half of the show with the handheld questions. We got a lot of them,
What is this, a Tony cut?
It might be, all right, so let's start off with Mr. the AT. What's going on? Damn, what you trying to say about Adam? Fuck. And Rich.
Uh-oh.
That's your boy, man. Oh, man. All right. First question here from Mr. One Subset. He goes, with the growing popularity and proliferation of gaming handhelds from the likes of Asus, Lenovo, MSI, and others, are we seeing the end of home consoles? The answer is no. Why? Because handhelds serve a completely different market, right? When handhelds are out there, their market has two things, gaming handhelds or portable PCs. They never say anything about consoles. And even proof to your point, there is no handheld from a major company like the ones we mentioned that comes with a dock. Yes, there are docks for them. You could buy docks mostly from third parties, but they don't come with them out of the box, which lets you know this is not a console replacement, right? What is a console? A console is a machine that sits under or beside your television, right? It is meant to be a TV experience. That is a very different experience than a handheld. So even though, there are a lot of handhelds, it is not the same market. It is more of a complement. Like a set-top box. But handhelds are a complement to your PC. Like, hey, you're playing your PC games at home, you're on the road, you take this shit with you. That's what it's really about. It's not, no company has ever said, we are trying to compete with consoles. Denver even said we're trying to compete with PCs. They basically said this is a complement to your PC. So I don't know where you're getting that idea from, but it is a completely different market.
It's an interesting thing because how the things have pivoted to a handhelds when there was a question as to whether would there even be any more handhelds ever again.
Yeah,
but it seems like after the Switch came out, and then after the Steam Deck came out, that everybody's jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, no, and to your point, that's why Chris and I thought the Switch was going to fail because handhelds were basically dead at that point. The only one that was still out there was like the 3DS, which became successful. Even that didn't do well initially, that was a real thing. It's like, okay, the handheld market, it doesn't exist. It's just Nintendo's game. Look at it now. So yeah, again, I'm curious to know, either this actually came from a specific place or, which is what I think it is, it's this whole kind of black and white mentality that people on the internet have, right? Like it's either this thing or that thing, no in between. Yeah. So it's probably that. And I'm not saying that against you, Subset. I'm just saying that's kind of the general thing with people. You're either into this or into that. PC gamer, you're not playing consoles. Console gamer, you're not playing PCs. It's that type of mentality, which is a little you know, no, it's not. That's not the way it rolls, you know. So yeah, what do you guys think?
I agree with what you said. Like, it's not the consoles aren't going to go anywhere as long as you can offer, you know, a really high quality thing on your the television, and a lot of people play at home. I think it definitely, you know, I think there will be cons of some sort, because again, it's more of a general market. And I definitely think that, yeah, those Steam Decks and things like that, granted, I would say Steam Deck is probably of those handheld, granted, but yeah, I don't think they're going to just kick, especially if people want to have, you know, nice looking games and not have to pay, pay a PC price, which, you know, nowadays those handhelds are costing about as much as a pretty damn good PC.
Yeah.
You know?
Pretty much. Carlos, what are your thoughts, bro?
I agree with you guys. Definitely don't think that at least handheld market is the one that's going to completely make the console cease to exist. I mean, it'll undercut some of its sales just because, you know, the market share is pretty tied down, so you know, inevitably there's some sales that go to a handheld that undercut the potential sales of a console, but it's not, you know, a one-to-one. So I think, you know, things like price, and I don't know if it's part of the questions list, Tony, but
yeah,
I don't know if we've talked about the price increase, the more recent price increase that we saw, but you know, things like price and stuff like that are things that are definitely going to, you know, hit the console market more than anything else. And also I think for consoles, their final form, and I've been talking about this about, you know, throughout several years, but I think their final form is like an Apple TV type of device. I think that's its final form.
I agree. Yeah. But it's not, you know, but the handhelds aren't replacing that even, you know, it's like, no. There will always be a market for something you play on your television, set top box, basically. That will always exist. Because it's a different experience.
And just like how, you know, consoles are not replacing, what's it called? PC? Handhelds for rooftop parties.
That's right.
This is just not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So there's that. Unless, you know, you guys, other guys want to jump in on that one.
I agree with Carlos. I would just add the caveat that there's two things eroding the console market, and that's games as a service, and then the hand. They have this two-part problem. You have, and we've talked about this, I think Microsoft is just going to move to be a service. Xbox just being a service, offering Game Pass or whatever they call it in the future, offering cloud gaming. They can leverage Azure for that. And like Carl said, you have a set-top box, but the set-top box doesn't need to be a mini PC or this custom thing, you know, like what PS5 is. They won't have to design it too hard. They're just going to design it to accept cloud gaming and streaming, and then you can install some stuff and play it. But it seems like the handhelds are the ones focusing on that, where consoles were focused on really streamlining the hardware, getting the bus to be as fast as possible, getting a better, you know, operating system, a better user experience, all that stuff. I don't think Xbox cares. I don't think Sony cares either. I think they're both going to move in that direction. They'll just have their set-top box, right? Whatever PS6 is, but they're going to, like, Sony seems to be moving that direction. I don't know what the hell Microsoft is. And then you have Lenovo and Steam and Asus and all these guys,
Asus, MSI, Dars,
Yeah, you have those guys, and then there'll be other guys who pick up that mantle, and you know, you got Nintendo in there too. So you have that market, and but like you said, there'll always be the experience on the TV, but that experience is not going to be like what we knew. It's not going to be this like ultra powerful, my system has got like, 8 channels and this many CUDA cores. It's not going to be that anymore. It's not about that. They're going to, Microsoft's already leveraging their cloud service for all that stuff, and they're going to stream it. And then it's going to really depend on more your internet. How good is it versus what series do you have on your, is it Series S? Is it Series X? That's not going to matter. I think in the next gen, it's not going to.
Yeah. Brian, what are your thoughts, man?
It's an interesting idea, but yeah, I don't think it will replace, because again, consoles have been here for so long, and again, I keep saying this to Tony, and he knows how many times have consoles died in the past, or supposedly have been the end of consoles in the past. So they all seem to stick around because I think they're just an easy thing, as Tony said. You just put them behind your TV or on the side, and that's it. Simple as, nothing else to them. But I can definitely see the rumor that the PS6 will have like a companion handheld, yeah, just because they want to expand into that space because they think there's a market there. I think that there is a market. I just don't think it's a very large market. So whether or not that pays off, we'll see.
No, I agree with that. I agree with everything that has been said, to quote Richard. By the way, before we get to the next question, because I'm, you know, as I usually do during the show, I'm always looking at Twitter. This game, and I know we've talked about it before. Hell Is Us. Is this another Souls-like? That's what it fucking looks like to me. You know,
Hell Is Us. Mm.
For some reason, I thought Hell Is Us was some like little indie game or something. Maybe because the Us Among Us. Oh. No,
there was another game that was like Little Devils Inside that was an indie game that's been in development for a while. But this is like
third person game, right? Yep. I'm looking at it now. Like, all right, another one. I wouldn't be surprised if it's from China or Korea. You know.
Well, no, I mean wasn't that just shown on one of the PlayStation dealies?
Yeah, PlayStation.
Thought it looked like Death Stranding.
No. Yeah, it kind of does look like this one, Hell Is Us?
Yeah, I remember the
trail I'm looking at now. I'll post this on our Twitter site because I can't access it, this chat here while I'm doing the stream. That would look bad. But okay, yeah, because I remember that Metal Gear game you're talking about, or the Death Stranding game. But look at this footage. It looks like a fucking Soulsborne game.
They also never really showed what the game was either on that thing. It was just like a CG trailer.
It's like because right here he's fighting. He's like,
he's got that weird, he's got that whip thing.
But right here it's like an axe, a giant buster sword, another giant, but yeah, it's like an axe and a buster sword. That's what this trailer's showing, at least. Looks like a Soulsborne to me.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
Slow action everybody seen these days, right?
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
I will see something real quick.
Oh, hold on. Go ahead.
It looks Western to me.
Oh, really? Interesting.
I don't know what it is, but it could be.
Maybe you're right.
I'll look up.
Yeah, look it up. Yeah, look up. Barry, the thing I was going to say, Carlos, Barry Burton goes, how many CUDA cores will that new Virtual Boy have? Good question. Shout out to Blitz, obviously, Red Pill Sleeper Cell, Dirty Death Dealer, you know, AKA. Shout out to him. Dirty Death Dealer is the man.
Shout out to Jolly Yellinerd who won the contest.
Yeah, yay. Oh, by the way, Jolly Yellinerd, I'll say this again at the end of the show, but yeah, once you get it, because we gave you a tracking number and everything, please tweet it out and, you know, at Throwdown and Manny, you know, that'd be good.
That one should, at least from the way it seems to be moving, it should be there by the 23rd. So, excuse me?
Tuesday? Excuse me?
It's moving pretty damn quick.
Something else is happening on Tuesday, but I'll talk about that on the Thursday show. That's all I'm going to say about that.
For Bison, it is Tuesday.
Yeah.
By the way, Montreal is the place where.
Oh, okay. So it is Western.
It's a Western game, yeah.
Yeah, it is a Western game, then. Good eye there, Carlos.
It is a Bronx game.
It looks like a survival horror, but I understand some of the Soulsborne sort of aspects of it, and the Death Stranding. I definitely see it because I saw the trailer too.
That you definitely see it. By the way, I love how we brought up Jolly Yeller Nerd. Oh no, there he is. Yeah, he just showed up. He's like, I'm gonna tweet the fuck out of it. He does say ETA is Tuesday. So yeah, what's going on, Chris?
Yep. It kind of reminds me of Remnant.
But
that's also, I agree with you with the souls like stuff because I saw him walking in that field and he's gonna fight this giant boss and then he's doing dodges moves, you know, so very, very much like that, very much things like because Bloodborne was all about dodging, he doesn't have a shield or Sekiro, but very, very much like that. So I get where you're coming from with that,
at least with that, with that tweet I sent you, you know, at least with that,
yeah,
it's crazy, man. All right, let's move on here. Whoa, we got Eurocar in the house. We got a question here. Lenovo had to cancel some Legion Go 2 pre-orders due to high demand. What are your thoughts? All right, so I'm going to read this article. This is from Eurogamer. Yeah, what's up?
Eurogamer?
Yeah, Eurogamer, Eurocar, excuse me?
All right. I sense a theme.
So yeah, the headline is Lenovo cancels Legion Go 2 pre-orders from its own website after demand, here's the quote, substantially exceeds projections. So here's, yeah, crazy. Okay, so here's the article from Lenovo has confirmed that whilst Lenovo Legion Go 2 units are now making their way to major retailers globally, some pre-orders placed on Lenovo's very own website will need to be canceled. The company did not confirm how many pre-orders have been affected, but said it was truly sorry for the inconvenience that has caused. So this is what Lenovo says. We will need to cancel some pre-orders placed directly on Lenovo.com. We didn't believe in holding onto customer payments for products we can't ship in a timely manner. As soon as our online inventory is replenished, Lenovo.com will show updated availability and ordering will reopen. We know this is frustrating and we're truly sorry for the inconvenience it caused, especially for our most passionate fans. The Lenovo Legion Go Gen 2 was built with you in mind, and this experience has been an important lesson for us. We'll use this to improve and ensure a better process moving forward. So the very first thing that came to mind when I read this, it kind of goes back to the first question about price. Apparently, price doesn't matter. This thing right here is actually, it's $10.99. It is double what the original cost. I'm not exaggerating that number, by the way. It is literally double what the original cost, right? Actually, a little more than double, right? But apparently, this shit don't matter because they couldn't even keep up with stock because they just sold out. Granted, you could, you know, if you want to look at it cynically, you could be like, oh, they had 10,000 units ready and, they had 10,001 pre-orders. Some shit like that, right? So you could say that. But I find that very interesting because you would assume, oh, shit, like, I thought everybody was broke, you know? But at the same time, and I said this when we spoke about this, I think when the price was just, oh, no, it wasn't rumored. It was actually confirmed at that point. I said, maybe like NVIDIA, they're like, yo, let's put out the high price shit first because we know the whales are going to buy it. Then we'll come out with the cheaper version later, you know? But regardless, that was the first thing that came out to me. I'm like, whoa. I guess the high prices, nobody gives a fuck. They want this goddamn system, you know? That is crazy, bro. And here's the thing, you know, because Syrian Air Force, he's like, well, he's not asking this, but he's bringing up some of the specs. So, yeah, the major upgrades are, there are some, like, slight design tweaks. It's more rounded on the sides, different D-pad. But the major difference is you've got an OLED display. I believe it's still 120 hertz. And then it has an option for the Z2 or the Z2 Extreme chip. So yeah, that's interesting. That I'm like, damn, $10.99, nobody give a fuck. It's like, again, look at this quote: substantially exceeded projections. That's wild, dude. But I'll say this: shout out to Lenovo. They're like, we don't like, even though it sucks that they had to cancel pre-orders, they don't want to make a promise they can't keep. You know, so it's like. So that's good, at least, even though it was like, if you pre-ordered it, it kind of reminds you of the PS5 days, right? You pre-order shit, you're ready. Like, yeah, I made checkout. Oh, no, denied. Yeah, but Carlos, for no reason whatsoever, what's your take on that? My take is like, motherfuckers don't care. They want that shit. You know, fuck the price.
Well, it's funny that you bring up that, you know, your first thought was, damn, it's like for this price, like it's substantially more. My first reaction was a cynical reaction.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, they might be doing the artificial scarcity.
They could be.
But honestly, no one knows, or at least no one outside of Lenovo knows. So it's interesting. I wonder, you know, I truly wonder what is driving people to, you know, get this.
I think it's that OLED. I really think it's that OLED. I know it sounds crazy, but like, and this is purely anecdotal, but the people I've spoken with, that is the main thing. They're more hyped for the OLED than the fucking Z2 Extreme tip. That's the reason that I'm excited for it, you know? Mm-hmm. But like, people are like, no, I want that fucking OLED. Yeah, and think about it like this, Carlos. This thing is going to be the third handheld with an OLED, right? The only ones, and you know, there might be some weird ones from INEO, who the fuck knows, but the only ones that I can think of are the Steam Deck OLED, the Switch 2, the Switch OLED, and the fucking, and this one. So that's three, you know?
And the OG.
Well, I'm talking about modern ones, Manny. But you're right. Vita was the first handheld to have an OLED. So, Carlos, it might be that. It's like, it is fucking rare, you know?
Yeah. Because it just, for me, it doesn't add up. This type of, the whole, you know, obviously, and the verbiage is not, you know, quantifiable, you know, substantially more. You know, we don't even know what the starting point was, and we don't know what substantially means in their terms. So, good for them, I guess. I'm still kind of baffled.
By the way, Assyrian Air Force brings up a good point. This 1099 one is the weaker one. The one with the Z2 Extreme is 1249. That's crazy. By the way, Assyrian Air Force, he says he has a question about the Xbox Ally. Is that the one you already submitted? Because if that's what you're thinking of, we got you, bro. We got you. Anyway, continue, Carlos.
Yeah, I'm that's pretty much it. I just don't know, you know, what fan base, you know, because there's just so many console or so many handhelds in the market, and then we still got the ROG Xbox Ally that still hasn't even gotten a price yet. So, but it's releasing this year. They haven't delayed it. But we got so many things, and it's still selling this well at that price. There's no limit for the potential of nerds, man.
I guarantee they. So think about it. The 1249 one sold out.
Yeah.
Fuck. I guess no. You can, these guys talk all this shit about, oh, too expensive. They buy it. They still buy it.
It's the RGBs, man.
You know? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, Brian. What are your thoughts on this, man? 1249 motherfuckers don't care. They bought it.
It's upsetting because that's way too high of a price point for most tech. I mean, I still think that any phone over like 1,000 is just not worth the price point. So the fact that these things are over that price, it's like, no, that's ridiculous. Like, that's iPhone level territory, and that's car payment, rent payment, mortgage payment type territory. So no, that's way too much. Granted, we don't know how many they did have on order. Again, as Tony said, it could be a case where they have like 2,000 and they needed 2,002. So, it's exceeds expectations. Like, okay, yeah, whatever. But yeah, it's just way too much. It's just the price point. It's like, no, that's too much. Like, that's almost two PS5s. Well, possibly two PS5s. I don't know what the prices are these days, but you get the idea. That's like two PlayStations.
It is. Well, it used to be two PlayStations, Brian. Now the PlayStation price went up.
Yeah, it's just too much. So I just don't see it. Again, maybe people just want it because it's like the new hot thing and it's expensive, it's powerful. So again, we live in a world where the Apple Vision Pro sold. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many it sold, but it sold. That thing was, what, 3,500?
Yeah, thankfully, at least Apple didn't say this, Brian, but the reports are that it didn't sell that well. So people aren't that crazy, at least. You know, but to your point, dude, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Brian. My worry is that this is going to normalize the price of these handhelds.
Yep, 100%.
Yep.
Yeah. When you were talking, like, oh shit, yeah, that is why this is disturbing, because now companies are like, oh, they're willing to pay that much? Let's fucking go. It's crazy. Yep,
that is the one thing I feared the most, that this becomes the standard price point, because I really don't want another situation like with PC graphics cards, where apparently the standard is over $1,000 for like a decent one. Like, no, no, that's not how it should be.
Yeah. And again, it's so crazy because what was so cool about the original one is the fact that it cost the same as its competitors at the time. Now Lenovo's like, fuck it. We're going to be the most expensive one. And they're being rewarded for it. Again, I'm not shitting on Lenovo. I like Lenovo, obviously, but it's like, fuck, now all these, you know, Asus and MSI looking, oh, word, we could charge that much? Excuse me? Fuck. Yeah. Yeah, Chris, what are your thoughts, man, on this thing, you know, just apparently, you know, exceeding expectations?
Well, I'll take it at face value, because if they wanted to do artificial scarcity, just use Nintendo's plate. You don't need to do a last minute, like, cancellation and or anything like that. You could just limit the stock immediately, get the pre-orders like blocked, and then just hype the thing, right? And then that would cause the demand to go way up. This seems legitimate that maybe they got more interest than they thought would. And so I'll take it at face value. But man, those prices, like the people are willing to pay a basic one is now $1,000, which is nuts. So what do you say, $1,250 for the?
Yeah, $1,250 for the high end one, and then $1,099 for the entry entry level one.
Yeah. That's nuts. That's outrageous. So the fact that they had the price, they have the price that high, and they get that much demand, that they, so much so they had to cancel some of them because they don't have enough. That's shit. I don't even know, man.
I'm like, because you would have thought, because I thought this, I'm like, this shit's dead in the water, bro. That's too much money. No, apparently not. It's crazy. All right. Moving on here. Assyrian Air Force. He goes, hey, everyone, I hope you guys had a good weekend. I did. I had a wonderful weekend. Thank you for asking. He goes, hope you all had a good weekend, and I hope that Randy Pitchford can get the help he needs. So do we. So his first question is it bizarre that the Asus ROG Ally, Xbox Ally has no official price, considering it's a few weeks away? All right, so nothing official yet, but the leaks, quote-unquote leaks, say that the entry level will be $599 and the high end will be $899. In lieu of the Legion Go price, that looks very fucking good, doesn't it? Like, damn. We live in a world where an $899 handheld is the cheaper option.
It's a bargain.
That is insane. And Chris, let me get that tinfoil hat real quick.
Oh.
Is my conspiracy theory. I think Lenovo was waiting. Like, let's see. Asus is waiting. Right. Let's see what Lenovo's going to charge, bro. That's my conspiracy theory. I have absolutely no evidence for this, but I'm just throwing that out there. That is my irresponsible conspiracy theory right there. But yeah, if the price of the Xbox Ally is, as quote unquote cheap now as we think. Yeah, listen, if $1,249 sells out, this shit's going to sell the fuck out too. You know, I guarantee you that. Because remember, we were all
crazy.
Yeah, because Carlos, because I don't know about you, but I always thought, like, yeah, I don't think this Xbox Ally is going to do anything. Now I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I mean, the ROG Ally, I mean, I don't know what the sales were, but I'm pretty sure the ROG Ally was the more popular between that and the Go and the Legion Go.
Yeah, yeah.
I always saw the most buzz from that.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the Xbox thing, it's because, the Legion Go still has, Windows on it.
Regular Windows,
Regular Windows. The other one has the modified version.
Yeah, so, man.
It's got a lot going for it. It's got the controllers and everything. So if the Legion Go 2 did this, I don't see why the ROG Xbox Ally can't do that same thing. Especially if the prices are anywhere near that. Obviously, we know why the prices haven't been announced, because they're waiting. You said, they're waiting on what Lenovo did, and also they're waiting on, it's like, what can we get away with?
Bro.
Apparently, they can get away with murder.
Yeah. I could say this now because it's kind of out there, but I have been talking with Asus for months now, right? I even had they came to the office and, did all this stuff, right? And the one thing they wouldn't answer was the price. As a matter of fact, there was a date. This part I'm not going to say publicly, but they were supposed to announce the price. Actually, no, I could say they were supposed to announce the price at Gamescom. At the last minute, they were like, nope, can't do it. So they're waiting. Like, this shit, like, what is it, October 16th, I believe? They're going to wait, bro. They're going to wait until the last minute. But I think now that they see what happened with Lenovo, they're probably like, whew, okay, good. If motherfuckers are willing to spend $1,249 for a system, they'll spend $899, because aside from, the OLED, they have the same, basic specs, the Z2 Extreme and all that. And the Windows, the modified one, the less heavy version. I think it's like a no-brainer at this point. Which one do you get? How important is OLED to you, bro? That's the question you really got to ask yourself. How important is OLED? How important are detachable controllers? Because in my estimation, the Xbox joint is way more, enticing, right? basic same specs as the Legion Go with that leaner Windows and shit, and $400 less, bruh.
And I think it has more memory, if I recall.
It might. It might. What is it, 32 versus 24? Is that what the difference?
Let me see.
Look it up. I'm going to check this myself. Yeah, because the specs for both are now out and official, you know? So we don't have to speculate on that. Where are the specs on this shit? So this is for the Legion Go 2. I don't know if there's a high one. It's just 16. There's no way it starts with 16. I mean, it probably starts with 16 gigs, but usually they say up to, which is interesting. This got to be the base version because it starts with 1 terabyte. I'm pretty sure you can go up to 2.
Yeah, 16 gigs is the lower end.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing where the
The screen size is the other difference. So that's the other thing. The Legion Go 2 has an 8.8-inch screen versus a 7-inch screen, right? So that could be it too. And I think that price, bro. But again, like we said, price doesn't fucking matter, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the ROG Xbox Ally has 16 gigs as well, but that's
starting.
That's starting. Where the hell is the X?
Yeah, like what is there up to? That's what I want to know. But yeah, again, man, like none of the old rules apply anymore, man.
24 for the X.
For the X, okay. That's the highest it goes, right?
Yeah, that's the highest it goes. Okay. I can't find what's the name of the Legion 2 Extreme one called?
It's just called Legion Go. I guess type Legion Go 2 Z2 Extreme. Just type that in.
Okay.
Yeah, just type that in and see what you get. It's very interesting to me. And again, like I said, what Carlos is looking, it's like Asus, Lenovo, and MSI have each put out minimum 3 versions of these within the last 3 years. People are clearly buying these things. Matter of fact, when I went to CES, not last year, but the year before that, I asked them, you know, how is the Asus doing, the handheld? And they were like, yo, that, just like Lenovo said, this shit exceeded our expectations, you know? So there's clearly a market for this stuff. And I have seen some, you know, Allies in the wild, you know? Granted, you know, they have been, you know, at like press events, so maybe that's why. But still,
here you know.
You go ahead, man. Hit us with them numbers.
32 gigs.
32 gigs
For the extreme.
For the extreme. Oh, God.
But remember, the Legion Go 2 does have a full-fledged Windows on it. So
yes.
I wonder how much of that is you know, system memory taking for Windows.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. I'm pretty sure someone's already done the math. But, yeah, it's a battle of two titans.
Yeah, but we should say this, though. The Windows part is not locked in stone because Microsoft says they want to bring that leaner version of Windows to other handhelds. So I'm pretty sure there's going to probably be an update, you know, for the Legion Go 2 and other systems. So that'll make it even more enticing. It's crazy, man. But Carlos, this goes back to the other thing we discussed with handheld consoles, regular consoles. The price doesn't seem to fucking matter anymore, does it? Yeah. You know? But at the same time, I'm thinking about this too. Like we said in the intro, handheld market and console market are different. Are console people willing to pay that much? If you're buying a handheld, you're already an enthusiast. We know that, you know? So are console people willing to pay that much?
Well, I mean, and what's the price of the PS5 Pro now? Like
$700? $750, I believe. I could be wrong about that, but I believe it's $750.
So, I mean, That's crazy, and that's for a mid-gen refresh.
Mm-hmm.
So the PS6, que vaya con Dios, because that shit is gonna be an arm and a leg.
$899 minimum. Yeah. It's probably gonna be more than that. Fuck out of here, because this shit ain't dropping for another 2 years. You know. So it's
probably, by the way,
go ahead.
You know what the catalyst was for all of this? Obviously, there's a lot of factors.
Yeah,
like inflation.
And I was about to say, besides the tariffs, you know.
Yeah, all the economic stuff is part of it. But one of the biggest things is Apple. Apple is the reason for this, because they've normalized, you know, selling $1,000+ phones for every year. So, you know, consoles and, you know, console makers and all these manufacturers are like, oh well, why can't we do that?
Yeah, no, you're probably right about that. Jolly Yellow Nerd says, calling it now. If PS6 has multiple SKUs, one of them will be $1,000. Yeah, I don't definitely believe that.
We'll think about a contest. I don't know. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know if we could afford that, guys. Pero,
because we're gonna put a PR statement under the Throwdown Twitter, like, because of marketing conditions, this will be the first time a Throwdown contest is not gonna happen.
Yeah, because every time there's a new gen, we give you guys a console, but now, fuck.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. You're not going to put us in a poorhouse, bro. We don't make that much money off this fucking podcast. Like, we literally just make enough to buy a console every couple of years.
Yep.
You know? All right.
Console, maybe a game.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Another question from Assyrian Air Force. So this is really more of like a general tech question, but we'll keep it in the realm of gaming, handheld gaming, to be specific. What do you guys make of the partnership of NVIDIA and Intel for CPU and GPU? Again, we're going to stay away from all the, because it's not a tech podcast, but the first thing I thought when I saw this news, I'm like, oh shit, imagine handhelds with that chip. That'll be dope, you know, because right now the only handheld that has NVIDIA is the Switch. Right? Everything else is AMD. So I'm like, ooh, that's kind of cool. So for all intents and purposes, imagine an Intel APU, but instead of like Arc graphics, it's proprietary stuff. It'll have NVIDIA iGPU in there instead. Very interesting. So immediately I'm like, oh, handhelds, let's go. So I think that's kind of cool, but we're not going to see this shit for a long time. Probably another like 2 or 3 years, you know? But yeah, that was the first thing I thought. I'm like, oh, handhelds, that'll be dope. What do you think, Carlos?
Yeah, the first thing wasn't that, although that's, you know, part of the thinking. The first thing that I thought was, this is probably for their, you know, their data center servers.
Which it is. They said that they said that.
And we know that, you know, they tried to buy ARM, and that shit got shut down, I think, in the EU or something. So they couldn't buy ARM. So they had, and I think they're going for the next best thing, and that's Intel. Intel is interesting, man. What they've been going through the last year with, you know, all this stuff, it's crazy. But, I wouldn't put it past them. I think, did they say that they're talking, because I think I saw something about an SoC, For gaming purposes,
yeah, they that'd said be, that. Be- yeah, yeah, that's why it popped up, because they said this is, like you said, data centers, and they also said for, you know, they said laptops. I'm like, okay, that's not that far away from a handheld, you know.
Yeah,
especially since some like the MSI that has a freaking laptop chip in it, you know, bro. So yeah, I'm like, that's kind of cool. So that just goes to, you know, to our earlier point. It's like, handhelds are a thing. They're here to stay, and they're going to keep getting more powerful, you know? All right. Anybody else have any thoughts on the Intel and NVIDIA merger, the partnership when it comes to handhelds? All right. Yeah. Again, you know, there's other stuff we could talk about, but we're not getting into that. It's not a dedicated tech show. But that's literally the biggest fucking computing news of the year, without a doubt. I'm like, holy shit, you know?
Yeah. They bought what, like 5% or 10%?
5%. And Intel stock went up. You know, those motherfuckers were happy, you know? Like you said, what's happening with Intel this year, very interesting, you know?
They're getting propped up for sure.
They really are, man. Although, like I said on the last show, I'm still a little uneasy that the government owns, like, I think, how much percent now?
10%.
Yeah, I don't like that. And it, by the way, before you guys, yeah, I mean, for real, right? What the fuck are we doing? Are we seizing the means of production here? You know, and this isn't because of the administration. It's like, I don't care who's in charge. I don't want the government owning shit like that. But this is the way things are now, you know? All right, let's move on here. Ooh, another one from Mr. Eurocar 9.
Oh.
Okay, since next-gen consoles are going to cost substantially more than their predecessors, they have to advertise these machines as doing something special or unique. Gotta have something. Xbox looks like it's going to be doing so by doing the whole this is an actual PC route. What do you think PlayStation will do for the PS6? Will the PS6 be able to clean your ears? Man, it better be able to do something else, but I'm not going to say that on air, you know? But it is a good question. Like, what can this thing do? Because, you know, my typical answer would be the thing that it could do to stand out is just have great games. We don't even get those anymore, right? Well, mm-hmm. How many exclusives have we had on PlayStation 6, Chris? 5, like 11, you know?
Yeah, I think it's like, yeah, close to the 11 or 12.
We're not exaggerating. It is literally under 20, bro. It is under 15. It's bad, you know? So games aren't it. And I'm speaking just for myself. Aside from power, what the fuck else do you want from a console? You want games, you know? And we're at the point where PlayStation is putting their games on other systems, right? What are you going to need a PS6 for, you know?
Yep.
And Carlos, what's that power going to be used for? To make games that you can play on PS5 look better? Because you know that's going to happen for the first 4 years, all that cross-gen shit, you know?
Well, it's going to be for GTA 6 and The Last of Us 2 remake.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, I honestly, you know, unlike ChatGPT, I can say I don't know. I have no fucking idea.
Well, you know, and what I think Xbox is going to do. They're going to do the PC route.
Yeah.
Remember when they did the Xbox One, they did the TV, sports. They're going to do something similar, but it's going to be like, oh, you can stream.
You can stream.
You can stream on our console. You know, oh. You can do all this. You can edit. You can work on it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's the route they're going to take.
Yeah, they're going to do that. That's what rumors are saying, too. I think we slightly did answer this question, though, earlier. Maybe that's what PlayStation's going to do to differentiate itself. It's going to have multiple, like, it's going to have the console and the handheld. Maybe that's how it's going to distinguish itself. You know,
yeah.
You don't want to pay
$1,200 for a cheap console. Well, instead of us telling you to get a second, third job, get the handheld version of it.
Yeah. And then it could be, but if you do want to get a second or third job, buy both of them. Back in the bundle, baby. You buy this bundle, we save you $100. And now that we've seen with the handhelds, you think motherfuckers wouldn't do that? Yo, I got both of them, son.
Oh yeah,
man.
All three.
I'm proud. I'm proud to spend $2,000 on a PlayStation and PlayStation handheld, bro.
Nope.
That shit is crazy, Manny. Like you said, the regular bands being priced out of consoles, man. We're done.
It's sounding a lot like the movie
industry. It's for the bourgeoisie, you know.
Yeah, it's like these companies think that they're better than that they're the premium and that you should be paying premium prices. No, you should not. The
Manny,
whole point.
You know why you're saying that? Because you're not a premium gamer, like Randy Pitchford said. You know, yeah, these are premium consoles for premium gamers, man.
Oh, well, you know, Randy should talk because he's a fucking rich person. So a measly $99 for a game doesn't mean a damn thing. Ooh,
why don't they just eat cake?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's like, you know, again, like it's like don't price out the regular person. You know, the people go to these things for all kind. You know, like this isn't a piece of entertainment. It should just be a reasonably priced so that everybody can get their hands on it. That's what it should be, plain and simple.
Yo, I'm laughing because I'm hearing fucked. Adam right now. Yo, they got a layaway plan.
I mean, that's what people are going to have to do, man. Like, you're going to have to put your fucking console on layaway for at least a half a year, you know, to pay it all off. I mean, it shouldn't be that way, but, you know.
Oh, but buy now, pay later is, I saw a video about this. It's everyone's doing it.
Fuck. What is that shit called? Like it's like pay now, buy later, or buy now. That shit is a fucking, don't do it, people. Don't do that. Don't put yourself into debt for a fucking console.
Why do you need to take a loan to buy a fucking console? It shouldn't be that way. You should just be able to go to any, you know, to a store and buy your fucking console or buy, you know, whatever your favorite places are and buy them. I thought that shit where those fake lines that they were creating online were also a bunch of bullshit too, where it's like, oh, you need to log onto our site and, you know, get onto a virtual line. No, you fucking don't. You don't need to do any of that shit. You know, you're creating this idea of scarcity where you don't. Like somehow you're going to just mysteriously stop and fucking. They did that shit during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because they had a captive because of our captive audience. So now every single thing now is like, oh, get onto the virtual line so you can get your hands on.
Man, kiss my ass.
Kiss my ass. You shouldn't need to get on a virtual line to get a fucking PlayStation controller or any of that other shit. It should just be available. But the problem is you getting people to think that this is some sort of exclusive or some sort of, you know, something is very special about this thing. And then it creates more, you know, it creates that idea. Oh, well, I need to have it now.
Hmm.
I'm sure those get handheld people doing that shit too. They're cutting the line short because to keep the demand high.
Yeah, they could be doing that. Yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, I'll go down the line here. Actually, Manny, you have an answer for this? Like, what could the PlayStation 6 do to differentiate itself? Actually, I got an answer for you. Don't cost $1,000.
Don't cost $1,000 and be able to run the minimum 60 frames per second. 1080p.
Yeah.
1080p. 60 frames per second. Yeah. Well, these consoles right now can only do 1080p and then upscale it to 4K.
Oh, Manny, you'll love this because every generation they always promise the new like resolution and frame rate. Now they're promising 8K 120 frames a second.
Bull fucking shit. Ain't gonna happen. It's not even won't even exist. What they're going to do is it's at best it's going to like if the new coming out they're probably going to run at 4K at 30, right? And then they're going to upscale that shit up to 8K. That's probably going to be it.
8K. Nobody has a fucking 8K TV. Nope. There's like two dudes.
Yeah. Why are they going to invest in something like that? But I mean, yeah, it can run it. They'll say run at 8K, but all they're going to be doing is fucking upscaling the shit anyway.
Yeah. Chris, what were you going to say, man?
Well, I was saying we just talked about Resident Evil 9 on the Switch 2 running at 600p to get an upscale. You know, you know, they have to do all the AI tricks and whatever to get that shit to look, you know, decent. But, I mean, that's what we have to look forward to. We're not getting actual, like, power. We're getting, like, oh, well, we can leverage these technologies to boost the thing. And it's not actually even at 1080, you know.
Yeah.
It just upscales it and fakes it, does, you know, for frame swaps and all this shit. And DLSS and bam, you know. But, yeah, it's all nonsense. And for this system, the only unique selling proposition that gamers give a damn about is that's all you can do. It doesn't matter. You could spit out power. Mark Cerny could get up there and tell me it could, you know, it's like, well, fucking make you breakfast in the morning. Like, no, I don't care. That's stupid. It has to have games. Every generation has gotten worse at this, having exclusives and having stuff for us to play. To this generation, it's been pitiful. You have almost count on each finger how many exclusives fucking PlayStations. Where you go back to PS2 and they had like 200 something, almost 300 exclusives. PS3 had like 150 exclusives, and then PS4 it's like less, it's like 40 or 50, and now we're down to like 12. It's ridiculous. So what's this gonna have, two? You know, it's just geometrically dropping. And then so what? How are you gonna sell this to people? What, you're gonna have this big powerful set-top box on your TV to do what? Stream Netflix? Like, what is it going to do besides games? Yeah. That's the only thing that matters. None of this other shit.
Yeah, Brian, what do you think PSA should do to differentiate itself?
Honestly, I have no idea because I don't know what they can do, because at this point these consoles are so similar apart from the games that there's no point. So it would have to be something drastic.
Yeah,
I do like the idea of the companion piece, like a handheld. I think that's a cool idea, but then how's that going to be used? Because again, we had the Wii U situation, which was a cool idea, but it wasn't beyond anything that. Well, it wasn't beyond anything else. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe grill something. I don't know.
I grilled something. Make me some food, bitch.
actual George Foreman grill this time?
You know?
Hey, I just said breakfast was out.
Yeah. He did say that. Yeah. Oh, man.
But Chris, maybe we'll actually get no loading times this time.
Yeah, right.
Maybe that's a pipe dream. Who knows?
Man. All right. Let's move on here. A couple questions from Black Viet. What's going on, brother? Why are modern sequels not as exciting compared to sequels from past generations? Sequels to games like Spider-Man, Dad of War, and Horizon I played and I just stopped, even though I loved the first entries. Does anyone on the panel feel this way, or did you enjoy the sequels to games you played on current gen? No, you're right. Because think about, you know, one of the things that was kind of historically true for a while, for gaming, generally the sequel was better, right? Because they refined the mechanics, right? You could go on and on. Mega Man 2, Street Fighter 2, Streets of Rage 2. Like
Uncharted 2.
Yeah, like you go on and on and on. But yeah. Yeah, Mass Effect 2, like, bro, there's so many examples, right? But lately, and I know you're specifically talking about PlayStation games here, but yeah, it's they're just not as good as they used to be, you know, because they're just like, I think we talked about this on the last show too, because I don't know, but we talked about what the fuck was it? It was a Naughty Dog game. It was Yote. We were asked, you know, will this game sell? You know, we're like, it'll sell, but it ain't going to sell as much as the first one just because of the trajectory. Every PlayStation game has sold less, the sequel, right? So, and I think it's just because they're just playing it safe, you know, for the most part. Playing it safe and injecting weird shit into it. I'm not getting into it, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, and you just got a bunch of talentless people in there too that are tweeting nonsense on Twitter, you know? So, yeah, so it's a couple of factors. But yeah, I have noticed that, but it's not for everything. You know, there's some sequels out there that are still good, you know, like motherfuckers love that Silk Song, you know? So it's not a universal thing, but yeah, for the big, big games, you know, I think this is why a lot of developers are saying, fuck it, remake something that people like, you know, this is crazy.
They don't need to go that far off the base to make something. It's like, okay, people already like it. So we don't go so far off the beaten path where this thing is not recognizable and still get it to work. But those are just easy. What those are just easy answers, right? Because they don't need to really think about anything. It's like, okay, wait, all I just need to do is just, you know, is just to do a graphical remaster on this game and we're good to go.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I like, the Metal Gear Solid Delta, I also think it is also incredibly dangerous because all it means is that they see, you know, all the higher ups are going to see is, oh, hey, if we just keep remaking games, people are just going to love them instead of actually going down the line and making something new.
Yeah.
But and you're again,
like, go ahead.
That's Konami though. I
mean, yeah.
So we're like, maybe you just
But any company yeah. that's doing this, going down the lines of doing these remakes, it's like, you know, okay, we have this install base. We could just make a mediocre type of game and people will still fucking eat it up.
Oh yeah, I mean, and you know, going to the whole sequel stuff, the reason why they don't sell as well is because they play it safe. It's pretty much, you know, the original game 1.5. You know, so
yeah, it might as well have been a DLC, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
you know, I think about Spider-Man 2, that could have been a DLC.
Yeah.
That it's pretty much the same game. Obviously, it does have its improvements. You know, you got another burrow, part of another burrow. But you know, it was pretty much the same game. It, you know, just slightly different, you know, story and stuff. So I can understand why there's no excitement besides the fact that people just like Spider-Man and they like the first game. But there's nothing else that, you know, gets them, you know, lit up. Like the best example of this is GTA. You know, we went from GTA 3 and then we went to Vice City, which is like completely different game.
Yep.
Than GTA 3 and San Andreas. And then after that, it was San Andreas, did something completely different. So, you know, I feel like we don't get those type of risk takers in the video game industry as much, especially not from Sony. Sony, it's like, let's stick to the formula. And you know, it's safe and it sells games, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really excite anybody outside of the core fan base.
Yeah, it's you're right. And the thing is, since these games take so, because back in the day, the sequel dropped like a year after or something, you know, like development didn't take so goddamn long. You know, now since they take forever and they cost hundreds of millions of dollars, they have to play it safe. They can't fuck around, you know? Yeah, I don't know. It's upsetting, man. All right. Another one here from Mr. Black. Oh, go ahead, Brad. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
I was thinking about this, and I think it could be two things, and one is a bit more controversial. The first one I agree with. It's just playing it safe, because, again, you don't want to rock the boat too much. But then the controversial one is that I think these people don't have passion.
I agree.
For what they do.
I agree.
Because, again, Tony brought up Silksong, and those guys took, what, six, 7 years to make that game? And they just said that it'll be out when it's out. It's because it's not out by a deadline. And then you can tell that they cared about what they did just by how the game is. And I don't know, I just don't sense the same thing from, again, I'm saying this about Insomniac. I don't see the same thing with Spider-Man or God of War anymore. Again, I could argue that God of War 1 and 2 had the passion that was there. You could argue that around 3 or Ascension, that the passion fell off. And then the rest has just been not really that much passion in there. And I think that's the main thing. Like, these people are not seeing this as we want to do the best thing we can do. It's just a case of we're doing this for a job and we get paid for it. And I don't know. I just see that with some games you can like sense the passion, and some games you just can't. And I bring this back to Kojima. Again, I may not like his games, but I can sense that they are oozing a passion. Like, he loves doing what he does, and he does it to the maximum. So I 110% respect that. So, yeah, I think it's just a lack of passion in what they do.
No, I agree, because, Chris, you go next. But, Brian, I had that same thought when I was playing both Shinobi and Ninja Gaiden. Like, it just came like, wow, you could tell the guys that made these games love what they do. You could just tell. And I think it's so evident because you play so much shit that's just soulless, you know? And real quick, Syrian Air Force says that, he goes, Nintendo plays it safe way more. Look at Zelda. The boss in that game is always Ganondorf and Mario, Game Bowser. But here's the difference. Yes, they do stick to familiar stuff, but there's passion behind those fucking games. That's the difference. I'm not the biggest Nintendo guy, but you can tell whoever made those games, they like what they're doing. They're trying to do something cool for the fans. Go ahead, bro. And then Chris goes after.
I can't believe I can't disagree anymore.
Oh,
most games are not soulless. They're mostly souls-like.
Seriously? All
right, that's it.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, to add on to what Brian said about lack of passion, and I'm just going to say this. To a various degree, Western studios have been kind of co-opted by just DEI hires and activists.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you have a lack of passion. You have people who don't care about the source material or the IP or anything, or the fact that, or what came before it, or who made it, right? A lot of them, and you'll see this to a various degree in different games, like, Agrabota in God of War Ragnarok is all of a sudden black. You know, the giants are black, okay? And you're like, that's interesting. And you start to see this in other games, right? You know, Spider-Man 2 had a bunch of it, you know, and, you know, so the passion is not, it's not there, but it's not because just simply that these people don't care. They just look at it as a job. It's not just a job. It's more important to them for them to score political and put message instead of making it. And I've been saying this for a while. So I don't care how controversial that is. That is literally what's happening. So, I mean, look at the Arkham games. Look how great they were.
Yeah.
Then you have upheaval at Rocksteady. You have most of the creatives and guys go spin off, go do something else that will get pushed out. And then you end up with Suicide Squad, right? And we hear this over and over again. And Insomniac's not the same company it was when they made the old Ratchet and Clank. I'm sure Santa Monica's, to some degree, not the same studio that made the old, like you said, before pre-Ascension and all that
stuff.
Sucker Punch, not the same place. Like, none of these places are the same anymore. And then we see the same thing happening. We've seen the same pattern in all of these places. They're all individual studios, but we see the same problem. A lack of passion, and then all sorts of messaging in some type of either political or LGBT stuff or whatever. That's all that gets pushed into the product, right? And nobody wants to see that. You just want to play good games. Nobody wants a lecture. And
Dragon
you
know, Age.
You want quality, right? Exactly. So Veilguard is dripping with that Concord, you know, and look how that did. So this is a huge problem.
No, I 100% agree with that.
I feel like whatever issues that you have, Chris, are sort of a symptom of a bigger problem. I feel like the issue when it comes to making video games is that creatives are usually really brash. You know, like the biggest creatives in the world, when you think about them, they're really, you know, brash, hot-headed, you know, really, you know, cynical and stuff like there's a lot of aspects when it comes to being a top-tier creative that comes with it. And those type of people don't fit in a corporate structure where they have to, you know, follow. That's why, you know, there's even see this in Japanese developers that are, you know, sort of at that higher echelon. They don't really coexist with, you know, the type of structures where corporate America, you know, has. So what you do is these creatives don't get to make games, and you make them as a committee. You make, it's like, oh, what are people like these days, you know?
Well, no, that's the safe. That's the first thing that Tony talked about, like playing it safe. That's the committee. That's the camel, right? That's the executives and people getting together. Like, we need the next Call of Duty, right? The next Shooter Man, the next whatever, right? That's what that is. With the creative thing, I don't agree with that. If you look at Nintendo's corporate structure, it is super rigid. Those guys are passionate and creative, but if you look how they work, if you ever look at a documentary of what Kyoto's headquarters looks like, it is the most sterile place. It almost looks like a hospital how it is inside there. Cubicle structures and everything. But yet these guys are making characters, designing levels, and doing all that stuff. They're being very creative, but they're working a very, very rigid structure. But yet they're able to produce like high art and quality, right? There's a few things like that. There are creatives who cannot work in that structure, sure. But then you go indie, you go make your own thing, you go try to do that stuff, right? You don't want to work within a structure or agree with higher ups, or you just have a problem with authority. You can do what the Hollow Knight guys did or whatever. You could try that. But what's his name from id Software, who spun off, he did Daikatana and Romero? All that stuff. He made Ion Storm. John Romero, right? Yeah, John Romero. Thank you.
Carlos, how come you don't remember?
Yeah, Carlos is your cousin. No,
that was the first thing I said.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Oh, he did say it. but like he's like what you're talking about. He's the like a guy who couldn't, and that and those were his boys, right, at id Software, and he couldn't even work within that. And then he went and did his own thing. And he got screwed over by Microsoft. We talked about that on the show. Like, he had something that was being produced through them, and they canned that. So his studio is gone. But I don't think he's the norm. I don't think that it's like every place has these creatives that can't work within the corporate American structure and whatever. I think there's plenty of guys who can, and they do because they have to, and they figure it out, right? Because we wouldn't have had the games we grew up with if they couldn't do that, right?
I partially think that also life when younger, those were not a huge investment as well.
No, they weren't, because Activision, when we were kids, when they were making NES games and Atari games or whatever, those were just a bunch of dudes rented a space and somewhere, called a company Activision, whatever. Now it's grown into this awful juggernaut that's just abhorrent. It's not even remotely reflects when we were growing up in the 80s and 90s what that company is. No company is like that, you know, because it usually spawns from a good place. It's like Electronic Arts or whatever. Those places started off small, they're small teams or whatever, but as they grew and got investments and whatever, they got corrupted, right? They're just huge juggernauts, and they buy multiple studios, and they the structure is all about profit, right? So what works? What do we have? Battlefield, but okay, new Battlefield. You know, crank out the next FIFA, crank out the next NFL game, whatever. But they don't take chances. Once in a while something will break through, and it's a rarity. But like, what do the guys have to do now? You have to go spin off and make a Clair Obscur game, right? You have to take a chance, right? Jump off. You have to make a Silk Song. You're right on that respect, but I don't think that's the only problem. And I think a lot of it is that you have people in there who are, like Brian said, not passionate, but they're not passionate because this is just a 9-to-5 and they're just putting in the bare minimum. I wish it was that, because those people at least could improve, right? You could say like, hey, this project is lackluster. It's not selling whatever. And you coach people and you say, let's look at what came before. Let's look at this and see what worked and try to gain that back. But these current people don't care about that.
Yeah, the people that are there, I'm not saying this about any specific developer. This is just of people with their mindset, right? They don't need to improve because they're already perfect, right? And we also have heard reports of like, the cultures of like toxic positivity, where you're not allowed to tell, you know, correct someone if they do something wrong, just constant encouragement, even though they know they're fucking up, you know? So that's also affecting things as well. You know, we've heard those reports several times. So
I feel like, for video games, unless you're doing like a service game or something like that, I feel like for the most part, if you truly want to create an artistic, you know, game, like you need a leader. You need a singular lead force for the game to lead everyone to follow sort of your vision. You know, like Kojima is the perfect example. Like he's done that multiple times successfully.
Yeah,
and he wasn't even meant for the corporate structure. So he had to spin off to do his own thing.
It's difficult to have that, Carlos. And by the way, I agree with you. When your team is 1,000 people, you know, because that's the other problem too. You know, here's the thing. Even before all this social stuff started seeping into video games, we were already seeing this happen, right? Just because of how big game studios are, you know? So it is just kind of like, okay, fuck it. Just, we know this is going to make money. It's like boardroom gaming, right? It's like, just what are the check boxes we need to hit? Bam, 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 bam. Get that out the door, right? Whereas before, like we said, it was 20 dudes in a fucking garage making a game, you know, with one crazy guy leading the charge, you know?
And think about it like this. If you didn't have, it's crazy that I'm saying this, but you need an authoritative figure when it comes to video games, because that's what leads to having consulting firms. It's like, why the hell are you consulting with someone to make a video game? Like that's what leads to types of things.
Yeah,
because
it's funny, we talk about like, oh, Silk Song, they only had, you know, four dudes or whatever. Mortal Kombat also only had four dudes. You know, it's like, it shows you that if you have a small team that's passionate and dedicated and talented, you can make magic happen, you know?
Look at No Man's Sky. Look how much it's evolved over there. No, those guys are what, less than 20 people,
right? Yeah. Yeah, they fucked up, but they listened to the fans. Like, oh, shit, okay. Like, so as much shit as we talk about No Man's Sky, we got to give them respect too for what they've done, you know.
Sean Murray,
our boy,
he deserves an award for redemption and shit.
For real, man. All right,
they did what what's his face could never do, shut up and just sit down and make
Randy Pitchford,
Randy Pitchford and you know, Peter Molyneux.
Yeah, that's true.
Peter Molyneux overtalked his game to the point where it literally could never, you know, whatever came out could never hold a candle to what he had said.
But he even flat out said he lied. It's like, oh, that's what gets your attention. I gotta lie.
He says a bunch of things to just get people's attention. So, and then later on, they actually have to go in and make that thing that he just, like, crazy thing he just said.
Yeah. All right. Any last thoughts on this? All right. Let's move on here. Another one from Mr. Black Viet. What are your thoughts on influencers complaining about frame rates in recent releases? I watch these videos and I go, well, I'll wait a year to buy it. But I just bought Borderlands 4 and so far I don't see anything wrong with the game. It's just the same thing that happened with Metal Gear Delta. Bigger extent because, because with Metal Gear Delta, it's not as big of a game as Borderlands 4, but it's the same deal. Basically, Digital Foundry puts out a video, they find that the game has like unstable frame rates, and then the community goes fucking crazy, you know? And again, I'm saying this as someone that really likes Digital Foundry, you know? But yeah, it's like, here's the thing. I'm not saying these games don't have problems. They obviously do, right? But at the same time, I don't want people to just be like, oh, Digital Foundry said it? Okay, I'm good. I'm not going to buy a game, you know? Like, there's got to come a point, especially when it comes to, like, games that are on PC. Maybe your rig is not going to be, you know, it's going to produce better results than somebody else's shit, you know?
And then also we're talking about, like, he might be playing on a console. I don't know.
Again, yeah, I don't
like,
know,
I
yeah.
Think also, I also think to a lot of it also comes from, like, a regular person versus a regular person's eye as opposed to somebody that is, you know, who legitimately can see these. I think for a lot of these games, most players will not perceive a lot of the performance issues that Digital Foundry, you know, lets people know that are in these games. But the problem is that there is no differentiation between if this, because again, like I think I said this before, when they talked about the Donkey Kong game, right? Yeah. They said, "Oh, this game has awful, you know, frame pacing and all, you know, the usual listing of Digital Foundry issues, right? But and nowhere in that does it ever say that it does it. How will it affect a person's enjoyment?
No, they do say that despite all that, they said the game is still enjoyable, you know.
But yeah, I think anybody hears anything about problems, everybody's already attempting to look through things like with a fine tooth comb, which I do think is a bit of a problem. Obviously, games should be working properly, but the thing is, one thing I will have to call out on Digital Foundry.
Uh-oh.
You know, so they may know a lot about frame rates and a lot about all this other stuff, but none of those guys have ever shipped a game before.
But can't you say that about most people?
Yeah. None of those guys are like, okay, instead of saying there's problems, maybe there's also other issues because again, each game is its own animal, right? Where it's like, not everybody develops a game exactly the same as the other. So each game has their own bottlenecks. Each game has all of their own issues, but none of those things really get let known. They just say, oh, there's issues. We don't know why, just it doesn't look as good.
Oh, okay, they have done it for a few games. I don't remember the ones off the top of my head, but there has been at least one that I know of where they've said that I think it was Valhalla or around that time frame. There was a game that came out. They said it has issues. They said, well, they, I won't say that they came to the conclusion, but they suggested what they think the issue could be, and then developers took that on board, they investigated, and found out that there actually was the problem, mm-hmm. and then they patched it. So there have been cases where they do that. Again, I don't watch the videos as often anymore, so I don't know if they're still doing it now, but it has happened at least once. So that's all I know.
I think the fact that for the regular, I consider a lot of those streamers are just enthusiasts more than they are actual tech people. And the fact that they know that there's a problem, then now they're seeing problems everywhere. It's sort of like pointing out that The Rock is missing on Saget stage in one of the ports of Street Fighter, right? It's like you didn't notice it until somebody went there and put a big arrow saying it's missing. So I on one end, it's like, yes, we should know that these issues are issues. But I also think that there should be a little bit more nuance because all anybody hears is just, oh, there's problems. Another game launching with issues.
Yeah. But I think, you know, if a game does have problems, you do want to know about it, you know, but at the same time, you know, people do get hyper fixated on things that may not be that much of a problem. So we need a little bit more nuance because yes, in some cases the shit is fucked up, but in other cases you might be overblowing it, you know?
Way a lot of the current talk about certain games' performance issues is that they're as almost as bad as Cyberpunk when it launched.
Yeah.
No. None of the I don't need, at least from the people that I know that played that new Borderlands game, they were not experiencing issues like that. I mean, yeah, maybe there was a couple of small cases that did have some like crashes, but I don't know. Like, I don't think these things are nearly as bad as people are making them to be.
In some cases.
But I also think for Borderlands, Randy Pritchford doesn't do a good job of not making it seem like it's a cover up. He could, you know, again, he could have been like, hey, listen, we understand that some players are, you know, as you know, the, what do they call the marketing speak answer? Some players are experiencing issues with this game and we're looking into addressing. That's it.
Yeah, there's no marketing speak with Randy. He just says you're not a premium enough gamer, man. Get a better rig, you poor bastard.
Get a better rig. Buy a PlayStation 5 Pro, whatever.
Oh, man. All right. Before we go to the last question here, Brian, it's apparently the 14th anniversary of Senran Kagura. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm really annoyed because I don't know the name of the developer, but they just stopped making those games. I'm guessing because certain voices were loud enough to be heard. And so hence they said, oh, people don't want this game anymore. So, yeah, I've not seen a good one in years.
That's sad. So. But at least you got those Nikkei games now, whatever the fuck they're called.
Yeah. They're like shoes, aren't they? I don't know exactly what the hell they are because I keep seeing screenshots and it's either one of two things. Either it's the characters stood there with their guns or the other one that Tony's laughing at. So yeah, those are like the only two things that I see. So I don't know what the hell the game is about. But I do know that they just had a crossover or a doing one with Resident Evil. And they have, I think they had Claire. She's the one from 2, right?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah, Goddess of Victory, Nikkei. Yeah, what the hell genre is it? It's a third-person shooter. It says, so this is what Wikipedia says. Take that with a grain of salt. A third-person shooter action role-playing video game by Shift Up.
Same people that made Stellar Blade.
All I see is girls' ass in your face and they're shooting stuff. That's all I see.
They know what their audience.
Yeah. So I guess, Brian, since we don't get Senran Kagura, we get these Nikkei games instead.
Apparently, they're really popular, and they make like hundreds of millions of dollars. Jesus. So fair enough.
Fair enough, indeed. All right, man. Last question of the night. So this is a sponsored question from Mr. Romudin. He's sponsoring one of a certain Air Force's questions. Will Tokyo Game Show have any surprises or megatons? I hope so.
Don't know.
I hope so. All I know is this year there's going to be a lot of fighting game news. You know, Sega's going to be showing off Virtua Fighter 5 Revo, maybe the new one. We're going to have more Street Fighter stuff. 2XKO is probably going to be there. You know, there's going to be more Tokon shit. So, like, there's some other stuff I'm probably forgetting, but yeah, if you're a fighting game guy, this is the show to watch, man. It's going to be some big stuff. Here's the thing with TGS, it's always for obvious reasons, more Japanese focused. So, you know, don't expect like, you know, big Xbox shit happening at the show. You know, I don't think, could you imagine that? They announced the price of the ROG Ally exclusively on the fucking, you know, TGS. I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know. But yeah, don't expect big Western game stuff. Definitely more of the Japanese variety. I'm going to throw one out there for Riku right now. I predict they're going to announce Trails in the Sky Remake 2. You know, he'll go nuts when that's happening. By the way, Riku literally took a day off work on Friday so he could play the Trails in the Sky Remake, and he's already put over 50 hours into it. My man's going ham, you know?
The old Riku has been ignited.
Yes, the old Riku has been reignited. Yes, 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 indeed. So, you know, he's going to get the platinum in that. But yeah, what about the rest of you guys? What do you think we might see at Tokyo Game Show?
I mean, Kojima said he's going to have something happening around that time. Maybe he'll talk a little bit more. There's a thing they call it the future of Kojima Productions after The Strand.
Yeah. So, fun.
Sounds like he wants to talk a little bit more about the future plans for Kojima Productions after Death Stranding. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe there's some stuff about OD, and maybe there'll be some stuff about
Fizzen, or
some other some other small things he wants to do in there. So that, you know, I'm looking forward to see what's going on with stuff. You know, it's weird because when Tokyo Game Show comes along, we sort of already know what's coming in the future.
Yeah.
Rarely do we get anything that's something that's out of nowhere.
Yeah, like Capcom announced all this stuff. It's stuff we already know. You know, Resident Evil, Pragmata. Like, it would be cool if they go, oh, Mega Man 12, but I doubt that's going to happen.
Okay. Yeah. According to some people, Pragmata is a Mega Man game.
It's fucking crazy. Her arms blue, son. This Mega Man's.
She's got round arms that looks like Buster cannons.
They're going to have Onimusha. They're going to have Omnimusha. They're going to have Onimushu.
Brett's favorite game, you know? Lost Odyssey and Blue Dragon ports for remaster. There you go. it should be a fun show. So I don't know if Tokyo Game Show will be going. It probably will be starting on Thursday, and it'll go through Sunday. So we'll definitely be covering it here on Throwdown. So that'll be fun.
Does Jeff have thing for that?
I don't think he. I don't know. That's a good question. Like, maybe because Kojima's going to be doing something. You know,
Chaboy.
but like, has Jeff Keighley ever done anything with TGS? I can't recall.
No. Other than if anything, he would. Well, no, because he's not like the American correspondent for Kojima.
Yeah,
He's not the Japanese correspondent for Kojima. I would think it would be somebody from Japan that does anything, you know, related.
Yeah, like, let's go to Summer Game Fest or teach. What account should I go to? Let's go over Summer Game Fest. Are they talking about Summer TGS? Game Fest. Oh, God. Here we go. Summer Game Fest. Have they been tweeting anything about Tokyo Games? And then, they haven't tweeted since August. So that's that.
Uh-oh. I guess that's a no.
Yeah, that's a no. Yeah, that happens. What about the Game Awards?
Game Awards has tweeted this.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Let's see what they got. The last time they tweeted was also August 19th. The fuck happened that day? It was also August 19th. Very interesting. All right. So we're probably not going to get anything related from Jeff Keighley, but you never know. Asir Nefer says they will announce Resident Evil 9 for PS4, telling us it runs at 480p, probably, you know.
But is it 60 frames?
It's 60 frames, I got. All right, man, let's start wrapping it up. Manny, what you got to plug?
Yes. So, New York Comic Con is coming up very, very soon. So I'm going to be there in the Artist Alley. I think I'm at I-23, which is my table. So if you're in New York City at the show, drop by and say, what's up? I have all kinds of fun wares. You know, some of my prints that I had and books that I had from the MGS Con recent that I did, as well as, you know, some other things. I have some G.I. Joe books that worked on covers with Kari Randolph, as my Power Rangers number 9 cover. So it's going to be a fun time. What do I got coming soon? Keep talking about Street Sharks. I think Street Sharks is coming out real soon. And what's the next one up? And then I think it's TMNT Journeys number 2. All kinds of fun stuff. Stay tuned.
Barry Byrne says they canceled the RoboCop reunion. Boycott. Hashtag boycott NYCC.
Peter Weller is like fucking 80 or 90 years old. So who knows?
Oh, man. And things haven't been finalized yet, but you might see me at Comic-Con too. Stay tuned. You know, you know what we should do? Like, because, you know, I already signed up for a press badge. I'm just waiting for confirmation. Manny, one thing we should do maybe for the fans, like, I will be at Manny's booth at this time, you know, like if they want to catch both of us. So I think that might be fun, you know. It'll be on Saturday for sure if that happens. So that'll be fun. All right. Carlos, what's going on with the Coalition?
If you guys want to tune into the Coalition, that's the Coalition with a K. We just posted recently, a couple of hours ago, 2 hours ago, the I Am Negan show.
Excuse me?
Which is hosted by Adam Vale, Mr. Richard Bailey Jr., and myself, where we talk about all things The Walking Dead and Walking Dead universe. Currently, we're talking about the Daryl Dixon show, season 3, I believe.
Episode 3,
which, you know, Daryl Dixon just came out this weekend or today. You can catch episode 3 recap if you want to tune into that. But we do those every day or every week. where you can catch me, Adam, and Rich. And just tune into the TV terminal also. Adam's putting a lot of work to that channel, so go show him some love.
Yeah, so much work that he can't be on Throwdown anymore.
That's the second job that, you know, people work.
Yeah, man. That's crazy. All right, man. So wrapping up. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. And follow us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
And Brian Manjoma.
Apparently, they're having votes on Discord about who will be the next president in some parts of the world these days.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, look at this. Adam shows up right at the end. Hilarious.
I'm telling you, it's like the street. Oh, man. Like, I'm running from one show to the other.
Like, we're literally doing the closeout.
we literally pimped the TV terminal like 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, man.
Oh, my Joe, this is, yeah, I'm at 995. 995 away from 1,000.
That's it. Go sub, motherfuckers.
This is it, please. Oh, we just finished recording Slow Horses episode 1 for season 5. That's what I was just doing right now. That goes up on Wednesday. And then we just ended, and I looked at the time. I'm like, I don't know. You guys go long sometimes. Sometimes you don't. It's only 11:08 where I'm at. So I was like, let me jump in. What's up?
Nothing's up. We're done.
Start from the beginning.
Yeah, that's
first
it.
First question of the night. Here we go.
Nah, we're done. We're already running too long anyway, but I'm glad you said. So yeah, what do you got going on with the TV terminal specifically?
Oh, man, we got what I got there. Tons of stuff. All right, so Tulsa King, season 3, episode 1. That's the Stallone drama. Fantastic, where he's the mob guy, goes out to Oklahoma, takes over, runs shop over there. Craziness. A lot of shooting, killing stuff. So that came out today. We dropped our first episode also today. So that's doing pretty well. People out there watching that. Also, we have Gen V doing that with Josh, also from the Coalition. And that drops episode 4 on Wednesday. So we got that one done. Right now, the Slow Horses. We also did Darkwing Duck. Damn. Oh, my Lord. I'm all over. The Eternalist Dark Wolf. We just recorded that, the finale of that, which also airs on Wednesday. Tons of stuff. So if you watch any of the shows I just mentioned, then jump over to the TV terminal and then jump into the chats. We do a full recap. We throw images. We put audio sound bites. And we either talk about the show that we like, or we just goof and poo-poo it. But either way, you know, it's a good time because it's just talking about the shows. You know, that's it. We don't take it too serious. We're not overanalyzing and super putting some massive speech together. No, we just watched it. We jump in and we talk shit about it. And that's it. That's what we do.
There you go. Good stuff. All right, guys. So we'll see you on Thursday, man. TGS is coming. Later.
Latest.